Time now to begin our service. Certainly appreciate your presence this morning, every one of you. There are several visitors with us this morning. We are certainly delighted to have you come our way.
Notice there are quite a few of the students back already. We're good to see you back. We certainly missed you while you were gone, and we trust that you had a very enjoyable holiday season and are back ready to resume your studies and your attendance here in our worship services. Also good to see the Flats and the Oldhams back this morning. They returned late Friday afternoon from their trip to Argentina and Brazil, and of course they will have a report to make to us later on that trip. But we are certainly thankful that they are home safely, made the trip fine, everything went just fine. And we look forward to hearing the report that they will have to make later. Remind you the attendance cards in the back of the pews in front of you, like for each of you, to fill out one of these and they will be collected at the end of the service. After today, we will be back on our regular schedule of two services on Sunday morning and two services on Wednesday evening. So please bear that in mind. For our service this morning, now Brother Gary McKnight will be directing our song service in his usual splendid way. Then at the proper time, Brother Alan Hires will be directing our minds in prayer. And then after a couple more songs, Brother Flatt will bring us the lesson of the hour. And our closing prayer this morning will be led by Brother Charles Corley. Will you join me now in a word of prayer? Our Father, we are thankful unto Thee that we are able to assemble here on this another first day of the week to study a lesson from Thy Holy Word. We ask a special blessing, our Father, upon those who are unable to be with us due to sickness and other causes. We ask a special blessing, our Father, upon those who are in the hospitals at this hour. Continue to bless them and bless the loved ones who are concerned about their health. Continue to be with them, be with the doctors who are waiting on them, and may they do just those things that would be most beneficial to their recovery. We are especially thankful, our Father, for the safe return of the Flats and the Oldhams from their mission trip. Continue to bless our mission efforts, our Father, and upon those who are in these foreign fields. We ask Thee to be with us now through this service, and may everything that is done and said be in accordance with Thy Holy Word. For we pray in Christ's name, and amen. Now let's all join in the song service with Brother McKnight.
Number 218, 218. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God. standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily by the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call.
Resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Song before prayer will be number 613. 613. Closer to Thee, near to Thy side, closer, dear Lord, I would abide. Hold me in Thy embrace, neath smile of grace, grant me, Thy child, a place closer to Thee, closer to Thee, near to Thy breast, closer to Thee. Lord, let me rest. Would strain, keep me from sin each day. Draw me, dear Lord, I pray, closer to Thee, closer to Thee, happy and free. Grant me, O Lord, hear me in every cry, stand near when I must die. Then take me home on high, closer to Thee.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this Lord's Day.
We're grateful for the beginning of this new year, the beginning of this new decade. We're mindful of all the changes that are taking place in the world, political changes, changes in governments, changes that affect many, many citizens of the world and which may well open doors of opportunity. We pray for those that are in all of the various countries where these changes are taking place, that the gospel may have free course. We're so grateful for our country. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have, and especially the opportunity today to meet in this unmolested fashion, worship according to thy will, lift up our hearts and our voices in song and praise, our minds in prayer, study thy word, commune, give of our means, and in an unhampered way be able to worship just as the saints did in the first century. We're thankful for our loved ones, our families, for our friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, and all they mean to us. We're grateful that we have these friends when troubles come our way. We're grateful for thy word and for thy sustenance. And we know, our Heavenly Father, that there are those today who are sad because of the loss of loved ones, or illness, or difficulties that they confront. And we pray that all of these comforts may be available to each and every one of these so affected. Thy love and care, the promises and assurances of thy word, and the help and the friendship and the fellowship of fellow believers in Christ. We're thankful for those difficult places in which work is being done, particularly in which we have an interest here. We're thankful that Brother Ben and others have returned safely from Brazil for the good they did while they were there. And we think about the saints who are there and pray for them. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for so many physical and temporal blessings that we in this country enjoy almost without thinking. But beyond all of that, we pray that we may never lose sight of the spiritual blessings that we have: forgiveness of our sins, freedom from the worry and the anxiety of guilt through Christ our Lord, and for the very opportunity that we have to be brothers and sisters together in thee. We pray that thou wouldst look down on us in this period of worship. Have mercy upon us. Aid, help, and comfort us. May we assist one another. And may our worship be acceptable in thy sight. And then we pray, Heavenly Father, that after we have come together and prayed, worshiped, as we do here, that we may be so strengthened that as we turn our faces outward toward the world and leave this place, face another week, another year, and another decade, that we'll go out with renewed strength, courage, determination to do thy will and to have an influence on others. All of these thanksgivings and all of these petitions we offer in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please mark in your songbooks number 306. Number 306. And then turn to number 280. 280 before the lesson this morning. Let's stand as we sing, please. 280. Mm-hmm.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountains through the deep vale. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above.
Singing his praises.
Gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Be seated, please.
It is certainly good to be back home. We appreciate so much the support that you gave us in making the trip and in welcoming us back home. Thankful that Don and Jeremy Harrison are back from Haiti. They just arrived, I think, just less than an hour ago, having driven back from Florida. We will be telling you a great deal more about the work in Argentina and Brazil in the next few weeks. We have some slides to develop and some VCR tapes that we will have available to show you pictures of the building and the work in Brazil. And we look forward to times like that, but I think it appropriate this morning to at least make two or three statements. I wish that I had the money to send every one of you on a trip like we've taken. I believe if you could see what we have seen in the last few days, that you would never again have to be begged to be at the services and be involved in the Lord's work. We have it so good. We have so many blessings. I was just thinking as I looked especially at the poverty that we saw in Argentina and Brazil, how I would hate to go to the judgment from Henderson, Tennessee, unprepared. I wish that you could see these things firsthand. I want to tell you without any reservation that we have every right to be thankful and a bit proud of our support of the work both in Argentina and in Brazil. Glenn and Kathy Hinton are respected and appreciated in the work there. They are back in the States. We did not get to see them. This developed after the trip was planned, but I think perhaps our being able to be with some of the other missionaries there was even more important, to see how the Hintons are appreciated and to see some of the needs that are there. The Hintons will be with us within a few weeks, and then we'll be going back. They are deserving of our support. And perhaps are getting even more involved in their work than we are. In Brazil, F.H. and Becky Gates are respected and appreciated. We really have two missionaries that we're supporting there. Becky is perhaps doing as much in many ways to convert people, especially studying with the ladies as F.H. is. The entire team there is a team that seemingly has no jealousy, but mutual appreciation of each other, accepting the strong points and weak points of one another and working together in a fine way. They, like us, are not perfect, but in general, it seems to me that they're making a great deal of progress. We were very much impressed with the people in Brazil, some of the friendliest, kindest, receptive people that I've ever seen anywhere. And people are everywhere. We were downtown, and F.H. and Becky said, "This is an off day. I don't know whether you could walk if it were an on day." But the people are receptive. The church is growing. I'm thankful that we have that part. The building, folks, is even better than we anticipated. We can be thankful that we have purchased this building. The brethren there are using good judgment. They're approaching the renovation of it in a slow fashion to be sure that they don't spend a lot of money on something that'll then have to be torn out for something else. Because of government red tape, which takes even longer there than it does in the United States, if you can believe that, they are trying to get an overall picture of the renovation of the building for several years and then begin step by step. We were very much impressed with the business and management ability of FH. I think we'd not seen this in this fashion before. But he particularly is able to involve people and has his finger on things and is moving, and many, many people there are working, and we were just very much impressed with what he's able to do along with the others in that line of the work as well as the preaching of the gospel. We'll give you more detail, but I just want to say to you that I believe that we have every reason to be thankful that we're involved in these works. And I don't know of anywhere that we could do any more than be involved in these. The next few days, the Goldmans will be with us, visiting with us about almost without exception, in every family that we visited, every person that we talked among the Brazilian people, the members of the church, things they said was how thankful they were for what we had helped them to do in purchasing the building and having the opportunities that they have. I believe that I'll be a better Christian after having taken this trip. I believe it will help me to be a better preacher and perhaps appreciate things in a way that I never have before, and we look forward to telling you more about it as we have opportunity. At the end of the service this morning, we have something to present to the congregation that was sent from the church there, and then we will be taking some sessions to share with you in more detail. I want to also remind you that we're encouraging all of us here to read through the Bible in 1990. Our lesson this morning is the beginning of a series in which we will be preaching through the Bible for the entire year. Different ways that you can read through it. Some of you may have the one-year Bible. We had suggested the process in which we would read from the New Testament 5 chapters on Sundays, and from the Old Testament 3 chapters the other 6 days of the week. We chose this approach so that all of us can use the Bibles that we have and read from whatever version we may be studying. You may want to read a new version this year if you have not read some of them. And I'm going to be preaching at least once on Sunday from the section of the Bible that we have read the previous week. The first 6 days of this month, new month of January, we should have read the first 18 chapters of Genesis. and then the first five chapters of Matthew today, and then back to Genesis, chapters 19 through 36 for this coming week, Monday through Saturday. I would like to be able to get to the end of the year and know that at least hundreds of us have read through and studied the entire Bible in that sense in 1990. Our lesson this morning is entitled, Walking with God. In the last few words of Genesis 5:24, and the first few words of Genesis 6, or the first few words of 5:24, and the last few words of Genesis 6:9, we have a statement about two men that are said to have walked with God. 5:24 says, and Enoch walked with God. 6:9 says, and Noah walked with God. It seems appropriate for us to think about walking with God on this, the first Lord's Day of 1990, because in a sense, that's what Christianity is about. That's what the Christian life is about. If you and I can walk with God through this year, our lives will be successful. It seems to me also that going back and analyzing these two men, the two who are said to have walked with God, will help us to set some goals, to better understand our relationship with God and our need for God in that walk with Him during this year. Consider for a moment the word walk. That means to go forth. You and I want to go forth in this new year to serve God and to live for Him and to live with Him. And that's described in these passages as a walk. Contrast the word walk, first of all, with sitting, and in the second place, with reckless running. The sitting position suggests an idea of neglect. Sometimes the running concept suggests recklessness in life. Although the word run is sometimes used in a positive sense to describe the Christian life, it seems that the word walk is used even more than that to help us to understand our relationship with God. Too many people are sitting in neglect and not walking with God. To the other extreme, there are some of us who maybe run recklessly without really stopping to think about what we're doing and just running and pushing so hard that we do not really accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. Let me share with you two little stories that illustrate this. I saw a few days ago in Belo Horizonte, Brazil, the smallest adult that I think I have ever seen. There was on one of the sidewalks downtown a little woman in a seated position that was about that tall. And it appeared that she had very short legs, if any legs, and little feet on the end. I would suppose if she were able to stand up, and I'm not for sure that she could, that she would have been no taller than that. She evidently sat there every day with a little box or can in front of her, hoping that someone would put some coins there that she might exist. It may be that this little adult person was unable to do any more than that. But as I passed her and saw her on two different occasions during the earlier part of last week, I thought in my mind as I was preparing for this lesson today how that illustrates the position and the attitude of so many that claim to be Christians. In that sitting position, more or less with a box or a can in front of them saying, you take care of me, you take care of my needs, I'm not going to get up and do anything. As I said, it may very well be that that little person could not do anything about her situation. But when you and I are in that sitting position of neglect, spiritually speaking, we can do something about our situation. We can get up and get busy in the Lord's kingdom. The second illustration comes from the story of a man who met another man as he was walking down the road, and the second man had a little dog that ran up, out of breath, panting. The friend said to him, "How long have you walked, or how far have you walked?" And he said, "Not very far." He said, "You must have. Look at your dog. He's out of breath." The man said, "Oh, we haven't done but about a half mile, but the reason that he's out of breath is that he's been running off to the side all the time, chasing a rabbit here and a rabbit there, looking for something here and something there. We haven't come very far, but he's been running off to the side all the time." Perhaps sometimes our lives are like that. We become so involved in the activities of life that we're running all the time. We're so busy. I suppose all of us can appreciate this problem to some extent. So busy that we don't have the time to do the things that we would like to. Always something to do. Always running here and running there and running somewhere else. We saw a lifestyle in Brazil that is almost entirely different from ours here. And I'm not ready to go to that lifestyle, but I think I learned something from it. They live at a much slower pace than we do. If you had a 9 o'clock appointment, you probably left for it at about 9:30. I don't think I could ever get accustomed to that. But the people were moving at a slower pace. They were not rushing here and rushing there. And I thought about how maybe sometimes we rush so much that we don't have time to stop and smell the roses and to look at all the blessings that are around us. And so I suggest for our consideration this morning that this word walk is perhaps one of the best words in the entire Bible, in the entire English language, to suggest our true relationship to God in the Christian life. Not sitting in neglect. Not rushing in a reckless way, but simply walking. Going on and on and on, keeping on and on and on in the Lord's service. Enoch walked with God. And Noah walked with God. Notice that there are three basic ideas that are involved in this word that suggests the rightness of it. The word walk suggests the right direction, the right speed, and the right duration. Going in the right direction, the right speed, as we've just been discussing, and the right direction. With that in mind, think for a moment about these two men, Enoch and Noah. They lived under a different law. They lived several years ago, but they were living for the same God that you and I have. They were walking with the same God that you and I have, and were going home to live with the same God that you and I hope to live with in heaven one of these days. There are several characteristics that are described about these two men, some in direct words and some suggested by the context itself. It is said of Noah, for example, in the 6th chapter and verse 9, that he was a just man. That suggests to us the idea of honesty, righteousness, a straightness about a man, not crooked and going from side to side, but walking in justice. God looked at Noah at a time when people in general were evil, when the very imagination of their hearts were evil continually. And he said about him, "Here is a just man." It is also said about Noah in that verse that he was a perfect man. That's not used in the sense of no mistakes or perfection as we might think of it like that, but it's used